organization Rise Up. We are supported solely by individuals just like you. We feature progressive voices rarely heard in the media, such as Noam Chomsky, Vandana Shiva, Angela Davis, Roxanne Dunbar-Ortiz, Naomi Klein, and Bill McKibben. To access our complete audio and book catalog, just go to our website, alternativeradio.org. Again, our website where we are podcasting, alternativeradio.org. To place a credit card order for CDs, MP3s, or written transcripts of today's program, Chris Hedges on Stopping Fascism, call us at 1-800-444-1977. Again, that number is 1-800-444-1977. Or you can order on our website, alternativeradio.org. Special thanks to KBOO Community Radio in Portland, Oregon. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamian. Thank you for listening.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the August Amzi After Dark, featuring Insexuality, Ultrasonic Love Songs, and Death Dances from the Panamanian Rainforest on Wednesday, August 29th at 7:30 p.m. at Amzi in Portland. What does the world sound like to an insect? Or a bat? You can find out by exploring the insect music you've never heard before in surround sound under the Panamanian stars. Again, that's Amzi After Dark, featuring Insexuality, Ultrasonic Love Songs, and Death Dances from the Panamanian Rainforest, on Wednesday, August 29th at 7:30 p.m. at the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry, 1945 Southeast Water Avenue in Portland. This is a 21 and over event. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. And coming up at 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, Stage and Studio presents Intersections Radio and singer Gabby Moreno with an in-studio performance. And at 11:30, Art Focus talks to Portland painter Jeremy Okai Davis. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate. And now, at the top of the hour, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary.
Good morning, Cascade Air. We got a doozy for you today. Tuesday, August 29th, 2018, you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. Radio for woke folk and the weird, feared, fully realized resistance. And weather for the Cascadia region. We have, we're expecting today clear with lows around 56 for tonight. And northwest winds 5 to 14, gusting up to 21 miles per hour. For tomorrow, there is a 20% chance of showers, believe it or not. Oh, yes, there is. Mostly cloudy, of course. Otherwise, how would we have showers? With a high around 72 and a light north wind. That's about it for Cascadia weather today. And moving right on, our guest today is James Henry. He is an investigative economist. And in these times, that's the very best kind to have. The other, nothing else will really do the job. And it is one hell of a huge job that we are faced with. It's very easy to be distracted every time. Of course, people want to know about payoffs to prostitutes because, I mean, you know, who doesn't want to hear about that? But when that begins to dry up and blow away, then it's necessary to wave a red flag at the public and get its attention elsewhere. We've got plenty of things that they are serious. Admittedly, yes, certainly they are. But there's no way that we can attend to those issues, the issues of social justice on the ground. There's no way we can attend to that if we do not handle some of the really big questions, such as money. And how fungible it seems to be these days. It seems that when Trump wants to do something, there are limitless quantities of money lying around in the streets. The greater part of the American population knows full well by this time that money is not for them. That money is for somebody else. Sometimes even other people in faraway places who, as money passes through hand after hand after hand, more and more of it, of course, departs for those hands. You would think that would leave less in the pot, but lo and behold, it leaves more. There are some quantum artifacts here. What we want to talk to our guest today, James Henry, we're very, very fortunate to have James with us today at short notice. But when we talk about particularly Paul Manafort, that's the guy that is most interesting. Manafort has been of great interest for a long time. Money flowing through Manafort's hands and oligarchs in Ukraine has really not, we heard very little about that throughout the whole trial. James, good morning and thank you for being with us. Paul Manafort, there's talk of him being pardoned. Donald Trump says he's a wonderful person, and perhaps he is, but he's also an extremely dishonest chap who is engaged in massive tax fraud and money laundering for many years. Where is the money?
Well, he seemed to spend a lot of it on fur coats and you know, luxury items. I think there's a larger issue here, which I'd like to get to, which is, you know, I mean, it's important that we look at Trump's financing and where he got most of his money, which in terms of the recent projects he did was from former Soviet Union oligarchs. But Manafort was working extensively for a guy named Yanukovych, who is president of the Ukraine, and now cannot return to the Ukraine, which for your listeners, you know, Ukraine has been part of the former Soviet Union. It's strategically located on the western edge of Russia, and you know, a couple hundred miles from Moscow. So the story about the Ukraine is it has had this enormous problem with corruption, and the IMF went in 2005 and bailed out the Ukraine, and then has bailed it out again in 2015 with a $17.5 billion loan. Manafort's role was to represent Yanukovych in trying to help him have influence in the United States so he wouldn't be subject to sanctions for all this corruption. And it's kind of an independent of anything he did with Donald Trump. He was also working for this corrupt president and the people around him to exert influence. So it's one of a number of dodgy people that Paul Manafort has represented. He represented Ferdinand Marcos, the dictator of the Philippines, back in the 80s. You know, he's had an appetite for picking some of the worst, most unsavory dictators and kleptocrats in the world as his clients, and he found out he could make a nice living by doing that. He collected over $60 million from Yanukovych and his clan, and he was also working for a guy named Deripaska, who used to be very close to, probably still is close to, Vladimir Putin, is a Russian oligarch. So, you know, these are, I mean, Donald Trump may be talking about another Paul Manafort, but the one I recognize is someone who is basically, you know, in thrall to some of the worst rulers on the planet, and, you know, has basically been parasitic on their need for laundering their reputations.
Well, yeah, he's utterly shameless. But at the same time, some of these people, Donald Trump is involved with some of these the oligarchs through Paul Manafort and Trump's efforts to finance his ludicrous run for the presidency. But once you get involved, it's not so easy. Is I would imagine to get once they think the oligarchs or their emissaries sink their teeth in, it's not easy to get away. You cannot just say, "Well, thanks very much," and walk away. As I understand it, through
I mean, in Manafort's case, he's involved in a great big lawsuit regarding with Deripaska involving some joint venture they tried to put together. These are not forgiving people, and they tend to remember what you did. But, you know, I think the real issue with Manafort is right now is he eligible for pardon? Is he likely to get a pardon from, you know, what else does he know about Trump that Trump is afraid of? I think Trump would risk an overwhelming reaction on the part of the U.S. Public because, you know, as much as most Americans hate to pay taxes, I mean, we pay them. This guy,
well, we do. These other people
income,
don't.
You know, he made a career out of not paying taxes, hiding it in offshore havens, helping his partners who were also corrupt to you know, using places like Cyprus to have companies and banks that they used as laundry vehicles. So. You know, this is not the kind of thing that most Americans ever have any access to. We don't get the privilege of, you know, even knowing where Cyprus is. I was just there in April. It's filled with the Russian money, and it's a big recycling place for, you know, for corrupt money. Not the kind of place that you would go to if you were a regular American trying to, you know, just live a decent life and pay your bills. But, you know, that's what we have on the inside circle of this presidency. He has more connections, private connections, not necessarily with the Russian government, but, you know, Russia Gate has so far, I think most Americans are kind of getting a little tired of hearing about Putin and Russia. Russiagate is really much more, I think, about the private relationships that Donald Trump cultivated over the years with all kinds of unsavory characters. And the issue is not that he's a mole. It's more a question of, you know, is he a mobster or is he someone who turns a blind eye to, you know, any kinds of associations. And I think that's, that may not be an indictable offense, but it's certainly something we want to look at when we go to the polls.
Well, thank you so much for that. I want to talk more about this on Thursday as more emerges. It seems that the Paul Manafort is Donald Trump's last fig leaf before all the Russian stories get out. I think the American people would be pretty interested in that. It's sordid. I mean,
Well, I mean, the shame is that the media, U.S. media, didn't really cover all these connections, which were pretty much well known among, you know, people who had followed Trump's career over the years. I wrote an article in December 2016 for the American Interest, which summarized all of the criminal connections he had. But, you know, a number of journalists have been writing about this for a long time. And
we have to go now. I apologize. We're fresh out of time. Thursday, let's talk some more. I am myself fascinated with it. Thank you so much. Of course, my guest has been James Henry. This is